How would you respond to that? And what some statement like this, he has not come out and apologized and has received deep criticism. How does it hurt him politically?
It should hurt him tremendously. It's just an outrageous assault that he's made on the Catholic Church and Catholics. I mean, when I first heard that, I wondered if he was going to pick up the phone and ask Cardinal Dolan if he would mind leaving New York, because he's the values that he described as being so repugnant to him and to his kind in New York are just those values espoused by Cardinal Dolan and by the church and by adherent Catholics throughout the state of New York. And for a man to make a statement like that really, I think, demonstrates the lack of tolerance and breadth and understanding that he has for those people who don't happen to agree with his liberal agenda. And it's just beyond the pale to me.
There doesn't seem to be much damage control on this. Do you see him at some point deciding to come out and make an apology for those remarks?
It will depend, I think, on how much heat builds up over this and how much people in your profession really continue to move this story, which is stunning, really, when you think about what he has said to so many, you know, well-meaning Catholic people who are just, you know, practicing their faith and the doctrine of their faith as they interpret it. For a governor to say something like that is incomprehensible to me.
In your time as ambassador to the Vatican, I know you worked on some very important issues, obviously, of human dignity and human trafficking. We see that problem here in our community as well with human trafficking. As much as they try to stay ahead of it, it's still such a problem and prevalent problem these days. What are some solutions that can help prevent this?
Use the right word, prevalent. It's just, it's transcendent. It's everywhere, and it's 21st century slavery, and it's very sad and cruel and demeaning of human beings. And I worked on it with great intensity in the 4 years I was in Rome and in Europe, and we made some inroads into it, but what is going to take is much more public awareness of it, more public outrage, and therefore then more law enforcement of the people that are doing this. Not just, of course, in the United States, but throughout the world. But I saw it firsthand in Europe with the women in these cases, particularly coming from Northern Africa and from Eastern Europe into the, you know, West Central European countries as just sex slaves. And there are, you know, things that law enforcement agencies can be doing about this. It's done by organized crime. It's the third leading generator of money for them, the first being drugs and the second being guns, and the third is women. And it's an horrific, phenomenal problem that we have in our time, and I was delighted to know of your interest in it, because it's going to take people like you in the media and others of us out here working in the trenches to together get so outraged that eventually we'll put an end to this, just as we did slavery in the 19th century.
Tell us, when you come here, you're expected to talk about Catholic education. Tell us about your background and your support to Catholic education and the importance of it.
I am what we call a cradle Catholic, which is I've been a Catholic all my life. But oddly, I did not go to Catholic schools because there were seven kids in my family and the tuition was $50 a semester and my family could not afford to send us to Catholic schools. But I have grown to know and to respect the importance of a Catholic education, and we, by the grace of God, have grandchildren, and they are now all going to Catholic schools because it does make a difference, and that's the title of the dinner they're having in Buffalo. The purpose of it is to raise money to enable families who otherwise could not afford to send their kids to a Catholic school, which my parents could not just for Catholic children either. I mean, I'm on the board of the Coalition of Catholic Academies in Washington, D.C., and two-thirds of our children in those schools are non-Catholic. 99% of them are minority. 100% of them graduate from eighth grade, and 96% of them are accepted into private Catholic high schools in the district, which are high-quality high schools, and virtually all of them, as a result of that, graduate from high school. So it's really cost-effective as well. So they get the benefit of the values training as well as the academic preparation.
On your reaction to Pope Francis and knowing the work that you've done in the past for the Vatican, how do you think he will be effective with his kind of new take and new style?
Pope Francis is a pretty stunning person. He seems to have captured the imagination and the affection of people all over the world, and for all the right reasons. I mean, he's emphasizing the basics of life, which is to, you know, look after your brother and have mercy on them and pity and help the poor and the down and out, you know, more than ever. And that's a message that we can all use continually, because there's probably always more that we can do, even though we think we're involved in helping. There's more that we can do, and that's really his message. It's a fundamental message of Christ. You know, when asked what was the most important thing, he said, you know, to love your brother, and meaning, of course, to take care of him. And so his message is pretty simple, but it's profoundly important. And he has a following not just among Catholics. I mean, I'm in a pretty good sized law firm. We have offices in 13 cities around the United States, and people come up to me of all religious stripes and want to talk to me about the Pope. They're fascinated and interested in this Pope.
Well, Mr. Nicholson, thank you so much for all your comments to our questions, and we look forward to your visit.
Thank you. I look forward to getting up to Buffalo myself.